8:46 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, and Hill will be gone all day. The consent agenda. Number one is the general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of a meeting held February 28, 2018. Number three, approve all claims through March 14, 2018 in the amount of $1,087,552.62, except claim number 1803013 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc., in the amount of $2,345, and claim number 1803017 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $373.26 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve register of deeds fees report and district court summary fee report for the month of February 2018. Approve specification for quotes on a two-year agreement for the lawn mowing and fertilization program for county facilities. Quotes to be received by March 22, 2018. Approve the 2017 annual report for Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Approve county liability report as of March 2, 2018. Approve March Against Child Abuse Walk to be held on February 14, 2018 from 10.
Back up. You said February. It's April.
April 14th.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Approve March Against Child Abuse. Number eight is approve March Against Child Abuse Walk to be held on April 14th. Thank you. Kind of hard to hold it February 14th.
That's number nine.
Around our sidewalk.
Yes, around our sidewalk. 2014 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
That's number nine, Myron.
It's number nine. Boy, I'm just a minute. There. I got to hold it up, I guess. That was number nine, the March Against Child Abuse Walk, and on April 14th. Number 10, approve canceling check number 17040074 to Sports Illustrated in the amount of $108. Approve utility permit number 1092 for Matt Smith will be boring 12-inch diameter, 8-foot deep, 8-inch PVC irrigation line under Township Road located in the southeast 4th, section 30, and southwest 4th, section 29, Township 3 North, range of 7 East, Rockford Township, 50 feet north of the south 36th and East Maple Road. Approve utility permit number 1093 for Matt Smith will be trenching 12 inches wide by 6 foot deep, an eight inch 100 pound PVC irrigation line under Township Road located in southwest 1/4 section 30 and northwest 1/4 section 31, Township 3 North, range 7 east of Rockford Township, 2,050 feet west of south 36th and East Maple Road. Approve utility permit number 1094 for Unite Private Networks. We'll be boring and trenching in 1,056 feet of copper optic cable 4 foot deep in West Ditch, 25 feet west of center line of County Road. We'll bore 4 inch diameter 4 foot below County and Township Roads. Cable will be encased in a 1.5 inch PVC pipe. Pull boxes will be placed 25 feet west of County Road center line at intersection of 162nd Road and 2nd Avenue and intersection of 162nd Road and East Belvedere Road. Project will start at Highway 4 and go south along west side of 162nd Road to 2nd Avenue in Virginia, located in the southeast 1/4 of Section 3 and the northeast 1/4 of Section 10, Township 3 North, Range 8 East, Sherman Township. Any other corrections?
So what was number 10? Is that because was that our lobbying attempt to get the Huskers into the 64? Didn't pay off, so we get our money back? Is that, what was the Sports Illustrated claim?
I assume that's jail?
That was for the jail. They didn't cash the check, and they didn't give the subscription. So when I talked to the auditor, she said it's just best we just cancel it and then move on.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Thiemann. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18030134 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $2,345.
I would move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 18030217 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $373.26. This brings total of claims approved through March 14th to $1,090,270.88.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor with Juergens at, it says no, but I think you're abstaining, yeah.
That'd be ridiculous.
Oh, 5 in favor. Excuse me. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Thank you. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we will move on to committee reports, building ground, winter lights. Dave?
Good morning. Today we have a few things that are on the agenda that we'll talk about, and thing that I didn't bring up during our committee reports I forgot to bring up would be the veterans office roof needs reshingled. It's getting to the point where the shingles are blowing off. We replaced some of them, I think it was last year, and they are getting thin. So during next board meeting I'll have some proposals for that. But otherwise the rest is on the agenda for
later on the agenda.
Yep. Thank you.
I did notice you got the flag back up a little after 8 this morning.
I did.
Dave's here 24 hours a day in case nobody knew it.
In case nobody knew it.
Just for the purpose of payroll and being correct, what Denny just said is incorrect. He is not here 24 hours a day. Just so everybody understands. We are paying him properly.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's debate that a little bit.
He's being paid for every hour he's here.
Should we have the back, every hour back clocks public in. Comment?
Yes.
Every hour he is here, Roger. Because Dave always clocks in when he's here.
You're doing no problem. Okay. We at this time too, I see somebody's come in or whatever. We somebody has requested to make a presentation to some county people or whatever. And Brandon, I see you came here this time. Jason. Slide. No. If you'd like to come forward, you're sure more than welcome.
Is this part of the comments for the public?
I apologize, Brandon. Yeah, part of we're going back to comments from the public here for this.
Sorry, I'm.
No, nope, you're good.
9. I was wondering if I can get the sheriff to come up. So I think most of you guys know me. I'm Jason Sharp. For the last year, I was mobilized with the Army in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. And, that the support, being deployed, the people who have it the hardest is the family back home. I only had one job to focus on, and my wife had all the jobs to focus on, and she reminded me this year that she's not mowing the lawn. So, but anyways, the reason that I wanted to come here is that throughout this, the sheriff's office, even though I'm just a part-time employee, has did a great job of reaching out not only to my family but to myself multiple times. Every time that the sheriff, the chief, and almost every employee of the sheriff's office, when they saw my wife, they always asked how she was doing. How I'm doing, and it means a lot. And I just wanted to publicly say thanks. And I had the opportunity to fly a flag over the base that I was at, and I just wanted to present that flag with a certificate signed by the commander and the command sergeant major, so signed by Colonel Gavovic and command sergeant major Bennett. So I just definitely wanted to say thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Jason, you remember, was full-time for us a while back, and he took off and went to the blue, but hopefully we'll get him back one of these days. But I think that's about the first time I can think having a deputy was deployed for that length of time. Now, they always have their mandatory training they had throughout the years, but that long, I imagine, is certainly a burden for us, and I'm sure it's more of a burden for the family. So technology's kind of nice. I'd text once in a while, and he'd answer, which surprises me. But, yes, it's good he's back again and safe and back to the community, but it's certainly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
And I also think it's very fitting today. In a little bit here, we'll have a veterans honor, and it's fitting that we could have something like this, you being a part of the service of this great country, and that we will have a veteran here we're going to honor. That this has been a great program for the county that Matt started, and that people, as you go throughout the county, people really, really appreciate that. And we appreciate the service you did, too, for our country, and we thank you and what your family has done very, very much. So. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Back to committee reports. Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance, insurance.
Myron, quite a large sum went out this last week. I'll hit on the large ones. City Beatrice quarterly EMS services, $45,000. Gage County transferring from general fund to road fund, $400,000.
Where'd that transfer to, Terry?
Road fund. So you can drive nicely throughout the county.
Is that 10 times what went to the EMS stuff?
NMC motor grader. And motor grader parts, $181,436.95. This was the first motor grader delivered to the Weimar area. Probably been two months ago.
Ago or more.
Yeah.
First one.
Sapp Brothers fuel, $15,812.67. Engage county sheriff expenses, $33,463.49.
No, there was some, and that's why it was the total claims was $1,090,000 or whatever. But the transfers there to the highway department, that's something that we do every year, and that needs to be done so that can effectively continue to operate. Yes. So, but no, there were some other bigger claims there too and stuff. So, anything else for finance, insurance? Human resources, John's not here, so law enforcement, emergency management.
Just a couple things. I know Monday night was storm spotter training on the emergency management side. I haven't had a chance to talk to Lisa, but I'm sure they had a good turnout on that. Was it 80 people?
Paper had it over 80 people.
Yeah. So Scott knows more than I do at this point. Yeah. But storm season is coming, so just be aware, it is coming. We're working on the sirens. I know on Monday, between her and Carlos, she said there was five of them. She sent us a text, me and Myron, a text yesterday, and I think by today they were hoping to have all five of them.
What a date today, they're coming to work on them today. Yeah. The company is scheduled to come today. So
hopefully we're getting everything into shape for storm season. On the law enforcement side, we continue to negotiate with the FOP on contract that will be retroactive to July of last year. One thing that is, on Monday, Gus had brought his budget and where he's at this point in time. That budget will be affected greatly by the new contract. And if and assuming that them rates are going up, which they most likely will, that's going to have an effect on that budget. So, while it looks like he might not be in too bad a shape at this point in time, I'd like to say that he probably is not when you start figuring in the wages that have not been paid yet that are due to be paid. So, anyway, something we probably should keep in mind. Other than that, I don't think there was – well – do we have something on the agenda for the air conditioner? I forgot to look.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Yes,
okay.
We do. Yep.
That was the other thing, and I think we will have plenty of discussion on that in a bit.
Yeah, and one other quick thing. They did did some more work. They did some work Monday, and they did some more work yesterday on the Pickerel Tower, and it sounded like, as of last night, they were comfortable that that is operational and good again. I think you mentioned that, but what they originally thought it wasn't. That was the connection of the cable and stuff. They did replace all the connection, but they had to do more testing and do more stuff to figure out what it was. So, but it sounded like it's good and operational again. So we do have a timed event here at 9 o'clock on the clock, and it is 9:01. We have a Veterans Honor, and Phil.
Good morning. This month, we're going to be honoring Korean War veteran and lifetime Gage County resident, Dean Thornburg. Dean served in the United States Air Force from October 10th of 1950 to April 26th of 1954. He was a staff sergeant and served 2 years and 4 months overseas, receiving the Korean Service Medal, United Nations Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Good Conduct Medal, and there may be some others too. But this time I'd like to introduce Dean Thornburg.
Thank you. A lot of familiar faces here. I guess I need to start by saying that I knew that the draft board was getting close. So I went in and talked to the lady at the draft board, and she said, yes, you're going to be getting a letter from me in about 2 or 3 weeks. So I climbed that stairs in that post office, that long stairs, and I guess I need to admit that I like a dry bed at night, and I take my hat off to those guys in the trench. And I think it's nice when you honor them. And I think this is a nice thing, nice gestures. So, Phil told you that I went in 1950, went to San Antonio, Texas, Lackland Air Base, and got my basic training, and went through screening. They asked me if I had any preference, and I said, not necessarily. I knew that wherever they own you, and wherever you're needed, that's where you go. But I said, I've always been interested in photography, impressed with photography. And I got a pretty good sergeant there, and he said, we're going to send you to photography school. So after I got my basic training, they sent me to Denver, Colorado, to the Air Force Photography School. And I went through there, and after I graduated, a couple of the instructors came around and said, you wouldn't like to make permanent party here. And I said, yeah, I love the mountains, and I'm 500 miles from home, and certainly would. So I spent about a year there, not quite a year, and then my name came up on the bulletin board, and I was sent to the Far East, and spent 30 months over there, as Phil said. I never regretted joining the Air Force, but I like all of the respect that they give the VIs. I guess then, after going through photography school and making permanent party there in Denver, then eventually, with my photography experience, they shifted me over to reconnaissance, which I kind of enjoy. You change a lot of film, but you work on the line, or they send you TDY, or wherever they need you. I worked in a depot for a while. The equipment comes into the depot and from Korea. And you repair it, in the hangar there. You can do some installations. That's basically what you do, is to change film, pick up the film. The generals want some reconnaissance photography. If there's somebody, North Korea, if they're having a fuel dump there, or if they're loading bombs or whatever, they say, we want some pictures. Of course, today, have that satellite up here. Things really change. And so you get the photography, and then they decide on where they want to bomb. And to tie in with that, then they shifted me over TDY for 3 months to Okinawa. And I was with the 307th Bomb Wing there, and worked with B-29s. And the B-29s have a camera back, right back behind the... Is somebody in the service here? Maybe.
Oh, Phil was.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a camera there right behind the bomb bay doors. When the bomb bay doors open, then there's a K-20 Fairchild camera. And when the bombardier crawls into his position, he throws a switch. And he wouldn't hear it because it turns the camera on in the back part of the plane. And the case drive cycles through, and it's hooked into a photoelectric cell. And a blast of light starts that camera going. So then the generals can... there's a lantern projector, and one of the pictures is up on a big screen. The reconnaissance photograph is here. They critique it. They know if they hit their target, if they hit the primary target or the secondary target. So that was interesting. Went back and did quite a bit of... Then I was in FEEP headquarters. Did quite a bit of looking at with the magnifiers of the film, aerial film. And eventually then they sent me to Nationalist China for 3 months. Chiang Kai-shek. In 1939, Chiang Kai-shek got chased off from the China mainland. So he took cover and went to Formosa. And that was good duty. I was down there to see, you know, their capability in photography, which was not too good. A lot of outdated chemical and everything. But it turned out, to make a long story short, I was stationed there for a while. I had a translator that I could get any time I wanted to travel with me. And Chiang Kai-shek, through the committees there, was told that if he would establish a beachhead 60 miles across the Formosa Strait, if he would establish a beachhead, that there would be a lot of people shipped over. And I guess he had hopes of that, which never happened. Going in and out of that main gate there, Taichung, I couldn't help but notice that was not my flag. And I loved that flag. And even for 3 months, I missed my flag. This kind of ties in with this presentation. I could amble on here, and I think you have a lot of important business on your agenda. So I think that's about all I want to say, except I had a good buddy that was down in Pusan, and he got shot. He's buried out here at McPherson by North Flat. I think I'm pretty well done. I could ramble on for a long time, but I wouldn't want to do that. So that's about all I want to say, except thank you for honoring the vets.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
You've been a friend a long time. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have something from the county.
Dean, yeah. I've known Dean also for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding man. On behalf of the county, I would like to give you these small tokens of our appreciation for your service for us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you much.
Phil, don't run off. Committee meetings. He's got a committee report to do.
Back to committee reports. I should have brought this up maybe during law enforcement. I know Gus talked about it Monday. Mike Pethout up there at Adams gave me this morning. We'll hang it up here or put it somewhere in the courthouse where we can. They're March 22nd at the high school there in Adams. They are having an active shooter education class, and it's open to the public. Some of the educators are having an individual down from the State Patrol, Brittany Clark, who is with Brian West, and Curtis Olson, who is St. E's. Like I said, that's open to the public. This they had planned. They'd started planning this before the shooting there down in Florida, and they're continuing through. I know Gus is going to be up there and stuff too, and maybe some of the deputies and so on. But it is open to the public. They're advertising it, trying to as much as they can. But that's something that I think is very pertinent, and hopefully they'll have a good turnout for that. So back to the rest of the committee reports. You had something for
Phil will do his after the road and bridge.
Okay, road and bridge.
Not a whole lot this time, Myron, other than coming up. Galen handed out the rock and gravel bids. We'll be discussing that later on. next Tuesday, the CAT NMC will deliver the second motor grader. And a little bit of issue on the Odell North box culvert. There's a water main on the west side of that bridge that's going to be removed and replaced. And there's a fire hydrant down at the base of that draw. And Galen went out there last week sometime and made sure the water line was in the proper depth and everything else. Well, he discovered that the water hydrant that comes out is for draining sediment or whatever. It's not really used for a water hydrant, but it's I had discussions prior to this, but it's they stated they had an easement for this water line, you know, that they're not responsible to move anything there. But when Galen had it surveyed, the water main is correct where it's supposed to be, but the fire hydrant is 3 foot off the water main coming to the east and then up in the county's right away. So with that being said, Galen said he would help with the digging of or exposing of it, but they'll have to move that hydrant to the west side of the line. So I think Galen's had contacts with the people there, and of course that's April 2nd. When that's going to happen. So hopefully next week that'll get resolved and finished up then.
Yeah, but it's going to rain now an inch Friday, so once we start construction, then it'll start getting wet and muddy and stuff. So,
Myron, I hope you're right.
That's Channel 10. That's Channel 10 and stuff. So, anything else for Roden Bridge?
That's it. We got a few things coming up.
Yeah, we have a few things on the agenda. Gary?
Phil, you want to step up and when we have the Veterans Honor, I think it'd be a good idea to have Veterans Committee report just every time that you're up here.
Okay.
This time, if you just focus kind of on, I know you just came back on a trip from a trip, and I know Shirley's going on one, so if you just kind of give the board a explanation or whatever, not an explanation, but just kind of an overview of what you guys are getting on those trips.
Okay, the trip that I was on was to Washington, D.C., to the American Legion's Department Service Officer Training. They hold one there every year, and one, well, they hold two a year, one in Washington, D.C., and one in Indianapolis at the headquarters. The American Legion asked me to be their Department Service Officer, which for the state of Nebraska, I'm the service officer for the state. And they provide free training. So basically, with my accreditation, I have to have training 16 hours every year anyway. And the Legion says, hey, we'll send you to Washington, D.C. and provide your training for the year. So I got my 16 hours of training in Washington, D.C., and they paid for the travel and the motel and to go out there and stuff. So I got my training and didn't cost the county hardly anything. Shirley is also an accredited representative for the National Association of Veteran Service Officers and several other service organizations, American Legion, VFW. Again, she has to have training also. I was planning on going to Reno for the national training this year. We try to go every 2 to 3 years. I got the training in Washington, D.C., so Shirley's going to go to Reno for training there. So she's been working on getting her airfare and motel. I think she got motels for like $60 a night or something like that, which is a lot better than Washington, D.C. was.
Getting rooms in Reno and Vegas is different than anywhere else in the world, though.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's just continuing training that we're required to have to maintain our accreditation and our... Right now I have a PIV card, which is a personal identification verification card through the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I have to plug the card into the internet, and it basically shuts down everything else. So I'm just on the VA system, basically. So it's made things a lot better for our office because now we can go in and see where the claims are at. We can see things that we were never able to see before. We can check on all kinds of different things. So it's a really good deal. So that's about it.
Anything else going on in the Veterans Service Office at this point that you think the board needs to know about or know more of, or is there anything needed over there?
Oh, yeah, we could use some, you know, work done inside the building. We've had some stuff done over there and just need it finished up. It seems like we get stuff started and then we never don't get it finished. So, but other than that, you know, we're plugging along.
All right.
We talk about the Veterans Service or the Veterans Honor Program, and you're always gracious and you say, oh, Matt did this. You know, that was just an idea. Phil was an integral part of that, and he's really the guy that administers that. He contacts, gets all the records and everything, and he really does most of the work on that. So that, you know, it's just a simple idea. The board approved that, but really, you know, Phil's running that deal, and he's contacting those folks, and so he's doing the bang-up job on it. So I just want to give him an appreciation for that and the efforts he does and keeping that thing going for as long as it has.
You know, I appreciate what the board does because, you know, it's, you know, without you guys, you know, having that, I mean, you can see other counties are picking up on it across the state. I know on our website and different things, so, you know, talking to other service officers, they're always asking for information on, well, how does your county do this and what do they do. And I know Jefferson County just picked up on it, and there's some out west that I've been talking to that have initiated it too. So, you know, one idea goes a long way. So,
thank you.
All right.
Anything else? Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else for committee reports? If not, the next item on the agenda there, Laura Young presenting the Tourism Quarter report. That will not happen today. Next page, approve or disapprove professional service agreement supplement number one between Gage County and Manali Wagner and Associates for consultant to provide construction engineering for LPA's project number BR-3265 and then five in parentheses.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. Galen, you want to explain this, or Don has it, or what? Or what are we looking at here?
I can explain it, but I got it right after our committee meeting, and I called Galen. I said, "Do we want to put this on?" So he'll talk about it.
Okay. Basically, what this is back on November 19th of 2013, we signed the original agreement for the consultant to provide construction engineering for the project. At that time, the overhead labor fees contract rate was figured at 120.14%, and according to the agreement here, the original agreement was provisional at such time as a 2013 overhead rate was established. So upon the 2014 overhead fees at audited overhead rate, it went that they used was at 150.56%. So that increased the overall cost $26,401.79. So that's what this new supplement agreement is for the increase in the cost for the project. That project was the Federal Aid Bridge project is what it was.
That cost is covered by the county or by the federal aid part of it, or how is that cost in
this? Will
that
be covered in the federal aid.
That section. Cost will all be covered in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of an update that the costs were more than what originally was proposed. That's what you're saying there.
Yep.
Inflation.
Inflation, yeah. Or it took more time.
So they can go in after the job's done and just decide that they want to increase their overhead rate?
Well, the overhead rate, well, I shouldn't say this, I'm not 100% sure, is actually set through the contract, through the state and or the feds, I presume, on this.
That's a good gig.
I'm amazed how quick this took place.
Yeah.
So. But that's back to Eric's question, though. This is basically something we have no decision or no control other than we have to approve it, because that was part of that agreement and part mm-hmm. of an agreement between them and Manali Wagner
mm-hmm.
that could happen. I mean, it's not the county coming in and saying, "Oh, you didn't pay enough, let's pay you some more."
So the state's doing that, the same type of people as at the Road Standards Board.
So, any more questions?
So, trying to get my hands completely around this one, or my head. So this is more or less a change order only 5 years down the road.
Basically, yes.
Look at you pulling out the naughty word, change order. Remember those?
They make it look different, though, so it doesn't look like a change order. But, yeah, they're billing another $26,000 from 5 years ago. I can't even believe this works, but I mean, this is something Galen has no control over.
No,
this is just going through the state.
No, it's all Terry's fault.
I don't even remember what bridge it was.
It's a Holmesville bridge.
Oh, you said Holmesville. John will be proud.
Any more discussion? If not, I believe we have a motion and a second. Vote. Juergens in favor, Bauman and Dorn in favor, Byers in favor, Lytle against, and Tiemann against. Passed 4-2.
4-2.
Right? Hill abstaining.
Got Tiemann and Lytle. Okay.
Did you say Hill abstaining?
Yeah, he's not here, so he can't vote. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution for a preliminary engineering service agreement, BK1312, supplemental agreement number one, for project number BR-3265 in parentheses 5.
Motion to approve.
Resolution second. Number 18-05.
Resolution 18.
Resolution 18-05. A motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. And since we approved the agreement, now this is the resolution saying that we approve the agreement.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah, and I don't know why they do what they do, but this is what we get.
I just want to point out, as old as this is a preliminary agreement for before the project was started.
That's the way it came worded to us, yes. Any other questions?
I realize this is, I'm not even going to say anything. It's stupid.
Vote.
Now, what would happen if that was the vote, if it was 3-3? Now, I'm going to vote for it, but...
This is a fake vote? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just saying this.
I think it's all...
Four in favor, Juergens, Bauman, Dorn, and Byers, and against two against, Lytle and Thiemann.
Because the project's already done. What if we would have chose to say no?
You understand why the federal government's $1 trillion in debt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's $3,000.
Did you need to read that?
$26,000.
$26,000 total. I thought it was just an increase of $3,000. Okay. So what if, well, I didn't say Phil abstained. I said the other six.
Okay. Here's me just at being a stinker and asking a question. Okay. What if we had turned that down and not voted on that? Would the federal government or the state come in and put a lien on that? I mean, I'm not trying to joke. How, would they come in and take it out? Would they close the bridge? What if we just...
Take away your money. For future project.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing. If they get around to it.
Galen, when did you receive this?
I received it on Monday.
Yeah. I just want to show county efficiency versus state efficiency. The state got this to us 5 years after the bridge was done. Don received this Monday, and we took care of it Wednesday. 5 years, 2 days.
The forms are going around. Everybody needs to sign the two forms here yet before you leave today. So
Eric,
don't forget.
Eric. Shh, we still need to work with them.
Thank you, Gaten. I see where you're staying there. Next up, item on the agenda. Approve or disapprove receiving highway superintendent's recommendations on the rock and gravel bids accepted at the last board meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by somebody over here.
Juergens,
okay. Gaten?
Okay. Well, basically, the bids that were received... Ace Sand and Gravel was actually the lowest bid for all the townships but two, but they have no gravel on the ground, and we don't know if they'll even start pumping for sure or when. So basically we'll have to go to the second low pit price in the bids, which would come out of the Powell pit out of that. Now, Consolidated actually had five townships at the second lowest bid. Two of those were actually the lowest bid. They beat out the ASIN and gravel bid price. But the contractors, Consolidated, will have five townships. Thiemann's will have 15 townships. And Rocklawn will have four townships on this. And as soon as the pit starts, Powell pit starts... producing full bore, we'll start hauling the gravel. I did talk with Consolidate over there, and they said as soon as the temperature levels out, because they can't screen the gravel below 32 degrees, just don't work right. They do have like 20,000 ton on the ground, but he said give them a couple days notice when we're going to start hauling, and we'll get going. So basically, what we'll do, we'll go ahead and turn this out to the lowest bidders, so we can start hauling on the township spring gravel on this.
But the East Pit, you're saying probably may or may not. You just don't know. You don't
just
know.
Don't have no
when.
Idea.
Okay.
When I talked to him, he said, "Well, he really didn't have no idea. Even start, he didn't know himself." You know, there are several different things involved
I
in it
too, Myron. And this is well before the bids. Well, I'm going to put a bid in, but just so you understand, I might not have any gravel. I personally probably wouldn't count on nothing for spring if I'd have to guess. So,
but what you're saying is though that because of that likelihood and because of right now they don't have any, and the Powell pit does. When we can start hauling out of the Powell pit, we will start hauling out of that.
Yes, yes. Good. And we'll give it out to all three suppliers that were the low bid
and,
for the
different and this is township.
This gravel. Is township gravel. Yeah, we're talking about
gravel.
Yeah.
If Powell rubs out, will you run to Alex then? Just bounce it over to the next one?
Yeah, we really don't have much choice.
That's kind of part of the way we've caught up, too, is years ago when Ace had it and they ran out of gravel, it kind of everything got held up. The highway department's kept bouncing to different pits now. And I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest helpers in getting caught up.
The other thing with that is how many townships have turned in their spring allocations? Probably not a lot, or
I think the majority has because I know
have they? Okay,
Becky's been after and
I know before too much is done. I know, and we talked about a Monday.
Yeah.
Some of these roads have to be gone over.
Yeah. You know, and Becky has touched base with the first three townships that'll go out to, and told them that we're going to start hauling here, and it might be a good idea to go out and go over their roads prior to new gravel being put on them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good. Anything else? Otherwise, we're ready to vote. Vote, yeah.
I thought you meant that when you said ready to vote.
I said we're ready to vote. Vote.
Today.
Well, Gary wasn't ready. I thought
got a red
warning.
Shirt. He wants a red bulb.
6-0 in favor with Hill abstain. Not here.
No vote today.
Next item on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove purchasing kitchen cooling system for the jail department. And Gus, you want to come up and talk a little bit about that, or Dave, whoever, either one of you.
Yeah, yeah. The bus stop. Got a big freaking cooling system over there.
Cook over there. It's cheaper to move.
This would be an air conditioning system for strictly the kitchen. They've always had a problem with heat in there, both summer and winter. It's extremely hot in there. And this started out as discussion of getting that heat vented out, and that roof over there is like a hollow core type cement structure that couldn't handle the large penetrations that the vents coming up through the ceiling would create. So Noak suggested it's 2 1.5-ton air conditioners that would be, there'd be two locations in the kitchen to just help take out that heat. And I think that would solve a lot of the problems. It just, no matter what we would do, they would have fans in there to try and blow out the heat, and it just constantly stayed hot in there all the time. So the bid from Noakes is $7,240, and to get it hooked up, there would have to be some new electrical running to it from the mechanical room. Was $2,078.23, which comes to $9,318.23.
Will this come out of building and grounds or out of the sheriff's budget?
It would come out of the sheriff's building and grounds budget. We have a line item in there just for the maintenance of the building.
And that's been an issue over there for a little while. It's gotten, I don't know what's worse, but it is very, very hot in that kitchen whenever they're doing any work, and that's giving it a compliment, I think. Gary and I were over there for the jail inspection, and this was when it was 20 outside, and it was unbelievably hot in there. I think for the safety of that employee and stuff, we need to do something.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's hot, yes.
And Gus stated on Monday why it's gotten hotter in there. It's because we're cooking more meals in there, I think that's pretty reasonable. I mean, you got 30 to 40 people on hand instead of 15 to 20. You're
busiest
doing double
busiest restaurant in town.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, yep. Three meals in a cot, right?
Don't make the food so good. Maybe that's the draw. Let them go down to Hanover. Where's that Ricky's? Where do they eat down there? Is that in Marysville?
2,000.
You ever eaten at Ricky's?
Yeah,
that's good. God,
so while this is $10,000, I don't know that there's a whole lot of. I don't know. There's a whole lot we can do different. And quite frankly, I think it's a safety. In my mind, it's a safety concern. Having, you know, Dave, I don't know if you took a temperature in there, if you know what it's been running, but I'll bet it was close to 100 degrees in there when we were in there.
Yes,
and that's not safe.
And they've been trying different things. They've been trying fans, and they've been trying venting at certain areas.
A small window off to the side in the old part of the house. And when they take the fan and try and get that cold air to blow in, it just stays hot.
Yeah. Hopefully this will solve that issue and stuff. So it's too bad. It's too bad somehow they can't ventilate that in there and use it for heat in the jail because they would stay warm in the jail.
It would.
But it'd have to be filtered and.
Yeah.
Will these be able to run in the winter? Is there any problem with that?
No, they have in the description that they can handle. It is down to 0 degrees, it says.
Make a motion to approve.
I would think this would be a good punishment place for our person who are in the jail. Send them in over there and let them get hot.
Okay, we'll entertain.
We
have no motion, right? I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by Bowman, seconded by Byers. Vote 6-0 in favor. Next, approve or disapprove purchasing new floodlights and lenses for around the courthouse.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann. Dave?
Yep. This would be to install the new floodlights around the building. We have the floodlights already. They're over 20-some years old, and they are all working, but they do need, you know, ballast changed, bulbs changed. They're showing their wear. There's a couple of them that have the broken knuckles that hold them up and things. So we did check with getting this started. I checked with Echo, and they really recommended the new LED-type lighting, and so they actually gave us one to try out on the south side. What this is an intense, bright, white light that shines through a colored glass. So it gives it that nice amber color. It's a little bit of a darker color than what was on here before, which I like. It gave it some depth and it saturates the stone. And there's also other colors. So in the future, if we did purchase colored lenses, we can change it to the blue for autism or whatever on that also. So, and that bid came to $12,641.78 from Echo.
Questions, Jim? Do we know, are the lumens the same as they were before? And I only referenced when we first put in those, I don't know what they're called, parkway lights or carriage lights, that we had them all over across the street from Rosie's house, and they were so stinking bright. We ended up moving them, and I think it really looks good because they were so bright. Are the lumens going to be the same? Do we need to be sensitive to our neighbors?
No, not for these shining on the building. It is a bright light, but when it goes through that filter, it pretty much is going to look exactly the same. But the only difference I can say is it's more of a little bit more of a goldish color than what it was before.
If we're going to continue to light the courthouse at night, I think this is, you know, $12,641. It sounds like a big number, but when you start figuring the numbers, like Dave said, there's ballasts and everything else involved at $200 or a little better than $200 a piece. You know, you're going to expect that each one of these is probably going to have a ballast in the next 8 years. I think on Monday we figured roughly a payback of about 8 years, but it's probably actually a little less than that. Yeah. So in the next 8 years, you're probably going to have a ballast. There's $2,400 that you would have spent anyway. And then bulbs and everything else you're probably looking at a 6 to 7 year payback on this. And then you're going to have another 15 to 20 years of life on these lights after
that. Supposed to be 24 years, they say. Yeah. So hopefully if we get that, they'll pay for themselves and more. So.
Right. Yeah. And then
whether they do.
And then, you know, you're looking at the environment, and we're using less energy and everything else by going with these lights.
So, and there's a rebate on this.
There is, and I did not get that information yet. I got the form, and it does not have information for the floodlights, but I do know there will be an electrical rebate on that also.
So, even better.
Yeah. One thing I would like to add, I did get two quotes, and I just got the other one from Wynn Electric up in Lincoln. They're just almost exactly the same, but I would recommend going with Echo. They helped us out a lot on this. And So it looked like it was within a dollar.
Echo was also going to give us one of the lights for free, weren't they?
They did, yes.
This is the price with the free one?
Right. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much stayed, I would say.
What a bargain.
Yeah. And I wished I had this earlier. He was on the road yesterday. I tried to get some more information on the two small ones that are up on the roof, and he just sent it about 15 minutes ago, and I was just doing some quick math, but they're the same. So.
And in 24 years, he'll still be working full-time, right?
You're talking to me?
You got that, Eric. Yeah,
I don't think you're going to want me here in 24 years.
That'll be Eric's 40th birthday, won't it?
42.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 in favor.
Thanks, Dave. Echo.
Thank you,
Dave.
Echo, right?
Dave, Echo. She had a question. Don had a question.
This is for Echo, so everybody knows we're voting for the Echo quote, right? Okay. Thank you.
Discuss and approve or disapprove agreement with Simple Minds for computer service for the county assessor's office.
I had some questions on this. You want a motion first?
We should have a motion first.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Thiem and second by Bauman. Ron,
come on, Terry,
you want to talk about the contract a little bit?
There's several things on this.
Let's have Roger talk about it first. Yeah.
Eric may have some better questions.
Yeah, okay.
Again, basically, just so you understand, I'm going to disclaim this all over the place. When I talk about clouds, I do that weather spotting thing. You know, if they look black and ugly, you head for the basement. So that's what I know about clouds. A typical vendor contract, basically all the responsibility is ours. And one of the things that caused me a little grief, and I talked to Patty a little bit, and I don't know this guy from Adam, so he may be a very good person and all that, but it says on a 2, 4, 6 bullet there on the front page, we're responsible for assigning a competent IT administrator to support, install, and maintain the virtual server. Again, I don't know who, and again, that may be just a statement so we can't go back on this individual we're contracting with as far as whether or not the server is going to do what he purports it to do. And again, some of these things are just items that I, as I read through this, caused me a little heartburn, and I'm not saying anything as far as whether or not this guy can provide this. I always get excited when we say the agreement is for a period of 1 year, commencing on January 1st, 2018, and ending on the 31st of January, 2019. Now, I got to use my toes on that, but that's 13 months versus 12. Again, there's a little things like that that, from my standpoint, and it said it was amended down there in the corner to add on-site backup. I just, you know, and I wish, you know, Patty, because she told me she basically has 3 backups now.
She didn't have it until I asked for them to do that, and they said they could do that. But if you read through here on the 11th, in the 11th line, it says that they'll provide on-site backup solution for customers. They didn't have that. We had to ask for that specifically.
Okay, that's fine. I just saw it added over there on the side, and it wasn't initialed or anything. So, again, from that standpoint, and I know the board's, you know, concerned about whenever you go off-site dealing with our technical stuff, can somebody come in from the back door? And that absolutely is, you know, even anybody you talk to that works on computers can always access their programs if your computer goes down. They build that into their system, don't they? Well, I mean, you know, I've worked with Dennis Schmidt, who is a very capable person, Joe Blackburn. Those are the two that I can remember names that I've worked with. And that's how, you know, when I'm screaming help, I can't get into my computer, they've got a way they can come in.
Wasn't there just recently the iOS, Apple, didn't they thought they were the most secure, and there was something that came up in the last couple months? that they had to go back, and I think that was Apple that had, you know, so you've got corporations that do this with their proprietary software that every once in a while, human beings make the software, they're going to leave a little secret hatch someplace.
Well, it just, it allows them to solve the customer's problem, you know, when we're screaming because our computers are down. But again, that's whether it's this guy or not. It's one of those things I think in retrospect that we probably, as a, we, the board